Dr. Kathleen Murphy is the Health Services Coordinator for the Milwaukee Public Schools and directs health services for over 85,000 children in 198 schools, focusing on community partnerships and innovation to support healthy, resilient learners. She is a board-certified family nurse practitioner and former social worker with extensive background in family, school, and community health issues. She's particularly concerned and works with underserved populations and has served the community in a variety of nursing roles, both locally and internationally, and is a member, a very active member, of many boards. These include the National Association of School Nurses, the Wisconsin Association of School Nurses, Diverse and Resilient, and I have to ask you later what that is, and Prevent Blindness in Wisconsin. In addition, she serves on a number of advisory boards and committees, including Healthiest Wisconsin 2020 and Prevent Blindness America. In 2004, she was selected as a Robert Wood Johnson Executive Nurse Fellow and did graduate. She earned a BA at Alverno College in Wisconsin, a BSN at Alverno College in Wisconsin, a Master's of Nursing Science at UW Oshkosh, and very recently, her doctorate in nursing practice from the University of Minnesota. Please help me welcome Kathleen Murphy.
Thank you. And I was so glad, Stephanie, that you talked about the faith community, because without knowing it, I realized I'm a woman of faith. I did not go to the speaker ready room before the presentation to make sure that everything was uploaded. So we'll all find out how that worked. I do want to talk about, you know, we're going global to local, and this is very local. You see the little school bus, you can't get much smaller than that. So this is really going to be about what we're doing in Milwaukee around decreasing our carbon footprint with school buses. But to get there, you have to know a little bit about us, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. So I just have a one-pager on Milwaukee Public Schools. Don't take one if you don't want one. I won't be hurt. But just so that we can kind of get through some of that quickly. This is as much about how to make something happen as it is about what we're actually doing. Probably many of you in this room are much more fluent about the technologies. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a mechanic. I know how to turn a car on. You know, I know that I should stop it if I'm going to be sitting there more than 60 seconds. But I don't know all the diesel technology and that sort of thing. This is really about how do you take an issue and make something happen through your leadership and telling the story. And so part of telling the story is talking a little bit about who we are. I'm also technology challenged, so there we go. Okay, nothing to disclose. Okay, Milwaukee Public Schools, you'll have that coming around, 85,000 students approximately, 200 buildings. The big take-home message here is that 80% of our children and families are low-income, and our student body represents 88% racial and ethnic minorities in our city. We are a minority-majority city, and most of the children in our school district and their families are vulnerable populations and live in poverty. The reason we got so charged up about, and John, I want to thank you for recognizing nurses, because it's school nursing that is driving this bus change in Milwaukee. It languished for a very long time until nursing took a hold of it, so thank you for that shout out. So part of the background that got nurses interested is asthma. Milwaukee is consistently in the top 10. How many of you are aware of the Asthma Capitals of America ranking? Probably most of the people in this room. I think they've been doing it for about 10 years now. Asthma and Allergy Foundation. And basically what they do is look at risk prevalence, medical factors, and other prevalence factors to determine which communities are not very friendly for folks with asthma. And sadly, as you can see, I'm not really proud of 2007, but boy, that looks great compared to 2009, where we went from third to second. And I should say that Milwaukee is my home, adopted hometown. I'm not originally from Milwaukee, and some of the data I'm going to give you and some of the data you'll see on that fact sheet doesn't paint us in a particularly glowing light. One of my colleagues presented just this afternoon about healthiest community data, and Milwaukee in the state of Wisconsin is consistently number one, for the wrong reason. Number one, in poor health outcomes and social health determinants. But I want to be really clear about that, because we don't wear it as a badge of shame. It inspires us to go forward, as we're going to ask you to go forward after this and do something in your communities. The other thing that I just wanted to mention about asthma, we've done our own asthma surveillance, and our data shows that we have about 11% of our student body with asthma, but when young people report on the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, they have a self-reported incidence of about 14%. So then again, more on our air quality. We failed to meet the daily standard for fine particulate pollution over the last 3 years, 2005 to 2008. And of course, because most of our children and families are from low-income neighborhoods, these pollutants are located and disproportionately affect those families and their air quality. Again, there was a study, I think it was the University of Massachusetts and University of Southern California that worked together. I'll have to find the resource. But Milwaukee is in the top 10 of cities with the most disproportionate amount of pollution in low-income neighborhoods. So why would schools be interested in air quality? Well, one, because we've got issues with our children with asthma, but second is really understanding this historical perspective and some of the unintended consequences of things that are supposed to make our lives better. The 1976 desegregation order really heralded a difference in how Milwaukee addressed school attendance for children, and how we were one of the first cities that had the order come down, ourselves in Boston. And so it increased busing in Milwaukee. So that was a whole new era. At the height of our busing, 1999 to 2000, you can see 1,300 buses on the road every single day transporting 70,000 kids. So it was about 18 million miles a year those buses were traveling. So these are diesel engines with lots of particulate matter. There were programs designed to begin to try to ratchet that down. One of them was neighborhood schools, again, not understanding the unintended consequences. There was a thought that if we could go back to neighborhood schools, parents and caregivers would feel comfortable having children walk to school. We could decrease some of the busing, decrease some of the other transportation, and it's win-win. The unintended consequence of that was parents felt very safe with their children on a bus for an hour each way. They did not feel safe with them walking to school, so we had more busing, more private cars, more idling, and more children opting to go to suburban schools, which we provided transportation for. Did I go backwards? Yes. Okay, so what are we doing to decrease emissions? Three basic things: no idling policies, monitoring systems, and retrofit technology. So it says idling, but it's really anti-idling. The big hurdle here was including it in our transportation contracts. We don't own any of our own buses. We contract for all of that. We have been working for 6 years to get that put in the contracts. To require those companies that we contract with to provide assurance and to monitor and to show us how they are ensuring that their drivers are not allowing buses to idle outside Head Starts, outside schools, and outside other places that we transport children. We're piloting this anti-idling project in 20 schools, where we also have an associated CDC asthma grant. We're trying very hard to align all these environmental initiatives so that they aren't seen as standalones. People like to pick and choose something they think they can get a hold of. They can get a hold of this, but then they realize it's part of something bigger. It's part of our single stream recycling. It's part of our asthma grant. It's all connected. And we're working with community partners, so it's not just buses. It's our delivery trucks, it's parents who are carpooling, and it's those other folks. Monitoring systems. We have an automatic vehicle locator system that's going to go online, I think, in the next 3 to 4 months or so. This is basically software that it helps us decrease the mileage that a bus travels, and thus the fuel. By using technology, we hope to decrease the mileage by about 12%. Basically, this technology can tell when the bus is turned on, how much it's idling, if there's a route change that can happen so that it can be more efficient. Tricks, speed, stops, and idling. And then the last thing is the retrofit technology, which is filters for particulate matter, keeping the bus at a minimum temperature. The bus drivers are all from the old school of diesel motors, where they think it needs to run to stay warm. So it's helping change the perception that that's not necessary anymore, and then providing, we live in a cold climate, people don't want to test drive this, so helping them know that they can and it'll work. The life cycle of a bus is about 8 years, and so our hope is to phase this in. There are some challenges because small bus companies that we contract with cannot deal with the fiscal impact of that. We were not successful in getting ERA funds to help defray that cost, but we're looking at other ways to do that. Retrofits are expensive, again, for these smaller companies. And then we're in a bit of a political climate in terms of school board governance, in terms of who will actually run the school district and what the fiscal implications would be. So the challenges associated with identifying and defining the strategies aren't really anything compared to the leadership relationships and partnerships it takes to actually make them happen. As I said, it's been a 5 to 6 year process, and for us, it kind of felt like this. Here's your little, you stayed, so this is your treat. Okay, that faith thing. We're not going to see my herding cats video. I have it on a thumb drive, but that won't help us now. Okay, well, really great video on herding cats. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube and just Google herding cats. Yeah. Okay. Well, how do I get to my next slide? Okay. Our role model. Sisyphus, the character from mythology. Just keep rolling that rock up the hill. As I said, it took us a long time to do it, but with apologies to the MasterCard people, you know, cost of bus retrofits, $1.8 million. Cost of price of clean air, priceless. We just kept doing it. The rock has stayed up there, and we're going forward. And then my thanks and acknowledgments and contact information. Thank you. I think I stayed in the contact.